From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss, a senior advisor to the president here at the Family Research Council, and I'm honored to be filling in for Tony this week. I hope you've had a fantastic day, and we appreciate you joining us this evening. We've got a great lineup. Let me begin by giving you an overview of what's ahead.
Our department protects all religions and all ideologies. It does not have any bias against any religion of any kind. The Justice Department does not do that. It does not do investigations based on religion. I don't know. And I don't believe we have any informants aimed at Catholic churches.
Amazing. That was an official narrative that was given last month by the head of the U.S. Department of Justice, Attorney General Merrick Garland. But now we have documents that have been released this week by the House Judiciary Committee that confirm that the FBI did indeed attempt to develop sources in both churches and dioceses throughout the country, and that they also had at least one undercover informant snooping around. We'll be talking with Congressman Dan Bishop, who serves on the House Judiciary Committee, about this disturbing development and what Congress should do to respond. And speaking of targeting churches, well, you may remember the story of Mavi Nada. He's the transgendered vandal who defaced a Catholic church in Washington state, all sorts of profane graffiti, also assaulted a church worker, all while resisting arrest. Well, the Biden administration has recommended a sweetheart deal, no jail time. Now, friends, when you look at that and think of it compared with the 11-year prison sentence that the Department of Justice pursued for pro-life advocate Mark Houck, look, you cannot escape the fact that we are rapidly watching a two-tiered system of justice develop in this country.
This is a policy on their part, and we've seen it before, Sean. We've seen them use SWAT teams against pro-life Catholics. We have seen them go after parents who dare to question what they're doing in schools. This is a pattern and practice of this administration to use law enforcement against anybody who questions them, and especially to use it against people of faith.
Well, it's frightening. That was Senator Josh Hawley yesterday on the Sean Hannity show. So what can be done about it? I'll discuss this later in the program with legal expert Mike Davis, who has served in all three branches of the federal government. And then, why was a Catholic ministry that served wounded warriors at Walter Reed Military Hospital for almost 20 years dismissed with zero explanation? Congresswoman Mary Miller is demanding answers, and she'll be joining me a little bit later in the program. And then once again, our nation grieves over a horrifying act of violence, this time in Louisville, Kentucky. But when these events occur, we hear calls, all sorts of calls, for action.
We have to take action now. We need short-term action to end this gun violence epidemic now. This is happening in America everywhere and will keep happening until we say enough and take meaningful action.
That was Louisville Mayor Craig Greenville yesterday. But what is meaningful action? What is the action he's calling for? And what needs to be done to really find a solution? Look, we've got to identify real problems if we're going to find solutions. Dr. Albert Moeller will be joining me from Louisville to talk about this. So we've got a lot of great topics coming ahead in just a few moments. And just by way of reminder, if you miss any portion of today's program, you can find it by going to our website, TonyPerkins.com. And of course, also, there's all kinds of actions that can be taken there that you can find on the website. So keep that in mind. All right, let's go to our first topic of the day. According to records obtained by the House Judiciary Committee, the FBI has attempted to develop sources inside both Christian churches and Catholic dioceses under the pretext of combating domestic terrorism. Now, y'all listen to this. Domestic terrorism. And where is the FBI looking? They're going inside churches. Now, we're living in a climate these days where attacks on churches literally are skyrocketing. We're watching as pro-life advocates have been targeted for arrest. So why in the world is the federal government prying into Christian churches? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is U.S. Representative Dan Bishop. He serves on the House Homeland Security Committee and the House Judiciary Committee. He represents the 8th Congressional District of North Carolina. Congressman Bishop, welcome to Washington Watch.
My good friend Jody Heiss, good to be back with you, sir.
Well, listen, it's great to see you. And listen, I'll just throw this out there. It's no secret you've been tweeting about this, but I understand you've been on injured reserve, so to speak, for the last week or so. Great to see you back in the saddle.
Thanks. That was a little bit of a struggle coming from the home studio, but we got through the necessaries, and it was good exercise to get that But I had a torn Achilles tendon, worked on Monday, and recovering well. Thanks, Jody.
Wow. Well, you're looking great. It's good to see you. All right, let's jump into this, Congressman. You serve on the House Judiciary Committee. Can you tell us to this point, what have you learned? What are you learning about the FBI targeting churches?
So, you know, the original story that emerged here, Jody, I think it was back in February, a document came out from a whistleblower where some woke analyst within the FBI, intelligence analyst, was suggesting that radicalized or radical traditionalist Catholics, I believe is what they call them, RTCs, were out in the countryside and need to be looked at by the federal government. And we were assured that that was an oddball thing that had come out. It didn't represent actual policy in the FBI, didn't mean anything. And we've asked for complete documents to see what else is there, and basically been stonewalled by the FBI so far. And then emerges another whistleblower released document, this one that you mentioned from the FBI, indicating that they're looking for opportunities to infiltrate Catholic parishes to identify supposed domestic violent extremists, or people who are inclined to be what, domestic terrorists. It is a shocking thing. And you know, now that I've seen, you have played the tape of Merrick Garland back from some days ago in front of Josh Hawley in the Senate, but I can remember him back in October of 2021 when the FBI, when he sent his famous memo out about parents of school children protesting and the nationwide warning he sort of sent and instructions to have meetings and so forth. He assured us then he doesn't act, the Department of Justice and the FBI don't have an axe to grind against people who are of faith or people who are exercising their First Amendment rights to speak. And yet we continue to see these pieces of evidence that it is happening. And our obligation now, Jody, is to get to the bottom of it, to get everything exposed. We can't take them at face value when they say, oh, that first memo was nothing, and then another one leaks out. We've got to know on behalf of the American people how bad this rot is within that agency, the FBI, and the Department of Justice.
We really do. I mean, I cannot describe the degree of disturbance that this whole thing causes me. And as you go back, I'd forgotten going back all the way to 21, where we have the Attorney General Merrick Garland claiming that the FBI does not target any kind of church groups, religious groups. Now, here's the question then. Was he lying, or to me, it's just one of these two options. Either he was lying before Congress, or he is so out of touch with his own department, his own agency, and they're not reporting to him. What do you think is the bottom of it? What is the truth here?
It's a great question, Jody. That first appearance, I remember he was very blasé and nonchalant and said we never pick on anybody based on their First Amendment activity. And I sort of took it at face value. It seemed clueless. The longer it goes, though, with all the evidence that's come out, the lack of any retraction of his memo back concerning the school parents of school children that was issued then, even though subsequently outside groups that had requested action, backed off of their letter, the National Association of School Boards, for example, he's never backtracked. And now when he stands up with that record and sits in front of the Josh Hawley in the Senate and says, oh, there's nothing going on, we don't target people of religious activity, when this evidence has emerged, I think it's something far more insidious. And I cannot tout that up to or tote that up to sort of a nonchalance or a lack of information. I think he knows what's happening. and I think he's covering for it.
Well, it's hard for me to disagree with you. I mean, this is something of this nature, he would have to be aware of it, you would think. But let's go on to another layer, if you will, of this whole discussion. We have now the story of the Biden administration recommending a sweetheart deal literally to a vandal that went to a Catholic church, defaced the church with spray paint, profaned graffiti, tipped over a statue of the Virgin Mary, literally assaulted a church worker, resisted arrest. I mean, we go on and on and on into all of this. And yet the Biden administration offers a sweetheart deal. No jail time for this individual. Your thoughts?
Absolutely, Jody. And everyone who watches FRC knows that about Mark Houck's experience, where the Justice Department, based on a squabble involving maybe one shove outside an abortion clinic, they said they tried to take a pro-life protester's, well, is it father protecting his son, Mark Houck, and subject him to a jury trial for an 11-year sentence is what they proposed. It took the jury acquitting him to get the Department of Justice off his back. But in this instance, this very serious vandalism, and even, you know, I think there was a, when he, the resisting arrest part was, he took the vandal took a backpack of spray paint cans and smashed them into a police vehicle. And so this was serious business. And the FBI is content, or the DOJ, I should say, is content not to seek any time at all to give a sweetheart deal. So it is another piece of evidence in this continuing stream that suggests that the Department of Justice is no friend to people exercising religious faith and is in fact hostile to those people.
Yeah, that is a chilling thought to go down that path. You know, just to imagine, and we don't have time to get into this, Congressman, but if this had been a pro-life individual to a Planned Parenthood, defacing it, tipping over statues, destroying property, assaulting a worker at the Planned Parenthood, I can guarantee you there would not be a deal to say no jail time for that individual. It's unthinkable. Real quickly, and we've only got less than a minute here left, but if we can, the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, is now suing Jim Jordan and so forth for his subpoena. Give me your brief thoughts on that.
So, Jody, that it's as plain as day. If a prosecution is commenced by a local prosecutor predicated on First Amendment activity as a retaliation for someone's political speech or activity, that's unconstitutional. And everybody knows who's looking at this Alvin Bragg indictment of President Trump. It appears to be political in nature. And that is an appropriate concern of the Judiciary Committee. We have a right and a legitimate legislative purpose to investigate. We're going to do that. This late effort to stop the subpoena will not succeed. It's already kind of bumbling around, but we're going to get after it, and we're going to stay after it.
Congressman Dan Bishop, you're looking great. Thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Jody.
All right, folks, you just heard from Congressman Bishop about this topic. The Biden administration continues to demonstrate a two-tiered system of justice in this country. Sweetheart deal for a violent vandal of a Catholic church. Wow, we'll discuss this and much more right after the break. Stay tuned.
Would you like to spend consistent time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. FRC's two-year Bible reading plan helps you to approach daily Bible reading intentionally. You will dive deeper into the nature of God and how His Word speaks into cultural issues of today. All wisdom comes from God, and He has given us the Bible as a way to understand the world. His word is necessary in our lives, so much so that Christ said, we are to live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He calls it our daily bread because we need it daily to sustain us and nourish us spiritually, just like food does physically. Start this adventure today with Family Research Council. When you sign up, we'll text you with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that we have. The mission of FRC's Online Center for Biblical Worldview is to carry out that verse by training Christians to advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square, as now more than ever, we need to be grounded in the truth of God's Word. The Center for Biblical Worldview provides amazing written resources for a wide range of relevant issues, including biblical stances on voting, religious liberty, abortion, marriage, and sexuality. Each of these topics comes as a free downloadable PDF version, abbreviated version, and Spanish translation, along with a prayer guide. To access this written series or to sign up for the Center for Biblical Worldview's monthly newsletter, visit frc.org/worldview.
Did you know that from as early as 12 weeks, and certainly by 20 weeks, an unborn child can feel pain? Did you know the issue of pornography is growing among women? Did you know that pornography, sex trafficking, and abortion are all linked and on the rise across the globe? Issues such as pornography, human trafficking, drug legalization, and abortion are all violations of human dignity and have resulted in the devaluation of human life in our culture. Family Research Council stands firm on the principle that every life has value, ought to be respected, and has been designed for a unique purpose. Educate yourself on the harms of pornography, human trafficking, and abortion so that you can offer hope and help. Learn more at frc.org/life.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. We are honored to have you joining us this evening. All right, last June, Mavie Nada, a biological man who now identifies as a woman, vandalized a Catholic church in Bellevue, Washington, in a fit of rage following the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Now, Nada admitted to defacing the church with profane graffiti, destroying a statue of the Virgin Mary, even assaulting a worker there at the church, and resisting arrest. In response to all of that, the Biden administration has now offered a plea agreement calling for only probation, no jail time whatsoever. Now, as we just heard from Congressman Bishop, this stands in stark contrast with the administration's effort to imprison Mark Houck, who was a pro-life activist. Mark Houck was defending his 11-year-old son, protecting him from a pro-abortion activist. And yet the administration went after him for 11 years prison term, they sought. Now, I've discussed on this program the fear that we are watching of a two-tiered system of justice under the Biden administration. And this week's events, quite frankly, show that this administration, justice is anything but blind. Well, joining me now to discuss this and go further in this conversation is Mike Davis. He's the founder of the Article 3 Project. He spent nearly 10 years as a civil litigator in Denver, working at one of the world's largest law firms in the world. And also, he had a top-ranked law firm there in Colorado. He has also served in all three branches of our federal government, and we welcome Mike back to the program. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me, Congressman.
All right, well, let's talk about this these two cases. Let's just start with the two between Mark Houck and Mavie Nada. Are we talking two federal cases here?
They're definitely two federal cases, and it's the tale of two different systems of justice under the Biden Justice Department. Back on October 13th, 2021, Mark Houck was protecting his son from being attacked while they were praying outside of a Pennsylvania abortion clinic. And there was a scuffle when this Mark Houck was protecting his son, and the Biden Justice Department, through the Civil Rights Division, the political appointees in the Civil Rights Division of the Biden Justice Department, sought felony charges against Mark Houck, sought up to 11 years in prison against Mark Houck. This went to trial, and Mark Houck was acquitted. Back in June 28, 2022, this Mavie Nada was out in the Bellevue, Washington area near Seattle. And this Noda is a deranged trans terrorist who clearly caused tens of thousands of dollars to a Catholic church, including spray painting and desecrating a statue in the church, assaulted the Catholic church worker, assaulted the police, and terrorized a little old lady praying inside of the church. It was pretty egregious. If you look at the video and the police report and even the plea document from the Biden Justice Department. So you have Mark Houck, the Biden Justice Department sought 11 years with this Noda, this trans terrorist. The Biden Justice Department, first of all, didn't charge Noda for like 8 or 9 months. And when the Justice Department finally charged Noda, they charged Noda with a misdemeanor, not a felony. And they recommended as part of the plea agreement to this judge out in the Western District of Washington in the federal court, zero jail time. And the sentencing hearing is coming up in June. So we'll see how this federal magistrate judge takes this sentencing recommendation. But it is disgusting that the Biden Justice Department tried to throw a father in jail for protecting his son praying outside of an abortion clinic for 11 years and zero jail time for this trans terrorist.
Yeah, it's just absolutely disturbing. And in addition to this, I'm sure people will remember it if we bring this up right now. But Houck, I mean, there was like 15 or 20 FBI agents heavily armed that came to his house, raided his home in front of his wife and children and hauled him off. What an unbelievable contrast between that and what we're seeing with this individual who is getting zero jail time. This is to me, Mike, a part of a much larger issue in our country and a much more frightening issue that we are watching unfold. And that is a two-tiered system of justice in this country. Is that, in your opinion, really what we're watching right now?
Absolutely. This is not our parents' or grandparents' Democrat Party. These are not liberals who love America and just disagree with conservatives on the best way to get there. These are leftists. They're Marxist. They hate America. They hate equality. They believe in equity. They hate free speech. They believe in censorship. They hate due process. They believe in Me Too and politicized and weaponized justice systems. And we've seen this repeatedly from Attorney General Merrick Garland to Soros-funded prosecutors around the country, including Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. They have weaponized our justice system. So they're going to go after Trump. They're going to go after Trump's top aides. They're going to go after Trump supporters. They're going to go after Christians praying outside of abortion clinics. They're going to go after parents protesting at school board meetings because they don't believe in the trans ideology that the leftists are pushing on school kids. At the same time, they're going to give amnesty to Biden and the Biden crime family, his sleazeball son, Hunter, his scummy brother, James, Biden's supporters, George Soros, Antifa, BLM, Planned Parenthood, and the abortion industry. We cannot continue down this path, Congressman. And I'll tell you, the only way we're going to stop this, and I know this doesn't sound right to many conservatives, is for Republican state attorneys general, Republican DAs, Republican prosecutors to get creative, find real crimes, and give Democrats a healthy dose of their own medicine.
Well, listen, our time is running out. I wish we had more time to go further into this because this is a frightening issue, but something that we must stay on top of, publicize, and keep putting pressure on. What do you say to the American citizen, the patriot sitting out there who hears this and questions if they're, what are they supposed to do with all of this if they become a target of praying in public or marching for life? 15 seconds, all I've got, but quick answer.
Remember, it's a republic if we can keep it. We have to be active and engaged. We have to get out and vote. Elections matter. Judges matter. And we're seeing that in stark contrast with the Biden administration, the weaponized Biden Justice Department. People need to be engaged and vote.
Mike Davis, thank you so much for all you do. We appreciate it, and thank you for joining us this evening on Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me, Congressman.
You're very welcome. All right, coming up, a Catholic ministry that has served wounded warriors at Walter Reed Military Hospital for 20 years plus, abruptly dismissed, right before Holy Week, by the way. Congresswoman Mary Miller will join me after the break to discuss this. Stay tuned.
Are you a university student? Do you know a university student, specifically one who wants to grow as a Christian leader to positively influence public policy and the culture? Look no further. Family Research Council has a life-changing 12 to 15-week internship program that has prepared and equipped students to take the next step in their professional journey. With a speaker series focusing on careers and callings, lectures from prominent conservative leaders, and weekly biblical worldview training, students will grow in personal and professional development. Interns have the opportunity to work in policy, communications, event planning, and more. They will gain real-world experience working directly with our experts who will guide them in pursuing careers of influence so that they can make a difference wherever God calls. This paid internship offers fully funded housing in the heart of downtown DC, giving you the chance to experience our nation's capital. Visit frc.org/internships to apply.
What is biblical masculinity? In our culture of gender confusion, there aren't many examples of godly manhood. Men, husbands, and fathers need to find a model of godly manhood, leadership, and strength. But where can they find it in our culture? Stand Courageous Men's Ministry was created to help men find this model of godly manhood and to develop a strong biblical character, cultivate positive habits, build and rebuild relationships, and make commitments that will move men closer to God's good purpose and design. Men who will stand courageous. Join us at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference to discuss critical aspects of masculinity. These conferences are led by men who understand the issues men face. They unpack our role as a defender, provider, instructor, and battle buddy so that we can make an influence as a chaplain inside and outside the home. Learn more and find a Stand Courageous event near you at standcourageous.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. We appreciate you joining us this evening. I'm Jody Heiss, honored to be sitting in this week for Tony. All right, we have a Franciscan community of priests and brothers that has been serving at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center for almost 2 years. And now, all of a sudden, they have received a cease and desist order from the hospital. And all of this came just days before this year's Holy Week. According to the Catholic Archdiocese for the Military Services, this action denies Catholic service members and wounded veterans the right to practice their religion. And what's even more disturbing, reports indicate that the Pentagon granted a new contract for pastoral care to a for-profit secular company, and they've offered no explanation for the sudden change. So what's going on? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is U.S. Representative Mary Miller, who, along with 24 of her colleagues, sent a letter to Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin demanding answers. She serves on the House Committee for Agriculture and the Committee on Education and Workforce. She represents the 15th Congressional District of Illinois. Congresswoman Miller, welcome back to the program, and thank you so much for your work on this critically important issue.
It's great to be here. I've always appreciated Family Research Council. Before I was in office a long time ago, I would listen to the radio while I was raising my children and here on the farm. And also, I so enjoyed serving with you, Jody. But thank you for having me. And yes, it's another day of crazy under the Biden administration. And
it really
is. I think we're seeing a pattern here. It's a pattern. They're attacking the foundations of our country. The very things that made us great was our faith and then also our families. And, you know, this is outrageous. These priests have been going to Walter Reed for 20 years. But not only that, we've had priests and pastors on the front lines with our troops. They've been with our troops through the darkest days and toughest battles. And to kick these Catholic priests out of Walter Reed over Easter weekend is just, it's hard to come up with a word to describe it. It's outrageous. And they may not want to tell us why, but we are demanding that they tell us why. We've written a letter to Biden's defense secretary, Lloyd Austin. But there's no way that an anti-religious, for-profit organization is going to be able to offer what these priests offered, which was consolation to our Christian service members through their faith.
Well, yeah, it really is disturbing. And, you know, it comes, like you said, after 20 years of service, there's no explanation as to why the hospital did that. And coming right before Holy Week, the whole thing just makes you kind of scratch your head and wondering what in the world is going on. Do you have any clue whatsoever to an explanation as to why this abrupt change all of a sudden?
Well, it may be an abrupt change for the priests who were going into Walter Reed, but it's not an abrupt change in light of what we've seen out of the Biden administration. They are wholly against Christian Americans. We know now that the FBI has been spying on Catholics, thinking that they're some kind of domestic terrorist. And, you know, they're just so emboldened. And I want to take this opportunity to encourage the listeners that evil never retreats on its own, only when it's confronted by a more powerful force. And evil is not going to retreat. We have to fight back. They're counting on us to be uninformed, to be indifferent and apathetic and afraid. And our ideas are better. God has left us on earth for such a time as this to overcome evil with good, and we have to push back.
Well, Mary, that's one thing I love about you is your biblical stance, unwavering stance on those issues, and your willingness to go out on the tip of the spear and address some of these things. Let me ask you this. Well, you hit on a couple of things I want to come back to, but are you aware of any complaint that the hospital had against these priests? Have they criticized any of their conduct or their services that you're aware of?
No, and they have given no explanation as of yet, but we, you know, our letter is demanding explanation, and they just lie. And then if we bring the truth forward, they lie again and call the truth misinformation. And this is their pattern. But, you know, there are multiple members of Congress that are strong in their faith, that love our country and are unafraid. I'm just so proud of Jim Jordan and Jamie Comer and so many others that are doing the important job of oversight in our country. And I'm thrilled that Jim Jordan has subpoenaed Chris Wray. And, you know, we need to use every legal thing at our disposal to ferret out the truth from this administration, because we know we're not going to get it from them any other way.
Well, Mary Miller, I want to thank you so much for your leadership on this issue, along with 24 of your colleagues. We hope to get to the bottom of this and hope to be able to speak with you further about it as this unfolds.
Well, as soon as we get a response, we will let you know.
Thank you. Keep the torch ablaze, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch this evening. All right, friends, I tell you, this is disturbing. And as Congresswoman Miller mentioned, this indicates a pattern that's been going on. Just look at all the service members who tried under religious reasons to get exemptions with the vaccine, and that failed. All right, we will continue more with Washington Watch right after this. Don't go away. Much more straight ahead. We'll be right back.
What is biblical masculinity? In our culture of gender confusion, there aren't many examples of godly manhood. Men, husbands, and fathers need to find a model of godly manhood, leadership, and strength. But where can they find it in our culture? Stand Courageous Men's Ministry was created to help men find this model of godly manhood and to develop a strong biblical character, cultivate positive habits, build and rebuild relationships, and make commitments that will move men closer to God's good purpose and design. Men who will stand courageous. Join us at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference to discuss critical aspects of masculinity. These conferences are led by men who understand the issues men face. They unpack our role as a defender, provider, instructor, and battle buddy so that we can make an influence as a chaplain inside and outside the home. Learn more and find a Stand Courageous event near you at standcourageous.com.
Well,
With the increase in tech censorship of conservatives and Christians, Family Research Council created a tech subscription platform to be sure we don't go completely dark due to censorship. It is important to us that we stay connected with you and that you stay informed. So if we get canceled, you can still access updates on Faith Fam. How? Just text STAND to 67742's content straight to your phone. Again, just text STAND to 67742 and you will get alerts on the biggest stories of the day. With just a simple text, always have access to our content and stay informed and connected with like-minded community. Text STAND to 67742. That's STAND to 67742.
Are you a university student? Do you know a university student, specifically one who wants to grow as a Christian leader to positively influence public policy and the culture? Look no further. Family Research Council has a life-changing 12 to 15-week internship program that has prepared and equipped students to take the next step in their professional journey. With a speaker series focusing on careers and callings, lectures from prominent conservative leaders, and weekly biblical worldview training, students will grow in personal and professional development. Interns have the opportunity to work in policy, communications, event planning, and more. They will gain real-world experience working directly with our experts who will guide them in pursuing careers of influence so that they can make a difference wherever God calls. This paid internship offers fully funded housing in the heart of downtown DC, giving you the chance to experience our nation's capital. Visit frc.org/internships to apply.
All right, welcome back to Washington Watch. Jody Heiss, your host this evening. Glad to have you joining us. Okay, this week our country witnessed yet another heart-rending tragedy when a mass shooter took place in the Old National Bank in Louisville, Kentucky. We've all seen the images of that. And while the motive of the shooter in this tragedy probably remains somewhat murky, what we do know is we continue watching these type of incidents of violence across the country, it reflects a very troubling scenario, a problem of morality, a spiritual problem. And with this, there will be all sorts of people proposing all sorts of legal and political solutions. But we know that the problems go deeper than politics, and we need to get to the real issues. How can we as Christians address the deeper issues of the human heart? That is the question. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Dr. Albert Moeller. Of course, he's the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's also the author of many books, including Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, The Explosive Power of Jesus' Parables. Dr. Moeller, it's always an honor to speak with you. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you as always.
Well, listen, we got a lot to discuss and a lot to try to unpack here, but let's begin with the tragedy there in Louisville. Can you tell us overall how the community there is responding?
Well, shock and horror, of course, and there really is shock. I mean, you're talking here about a situation that's a little bit different than I think what many Americans have associated with this kind of mass crime. It's hauntingly similar in some ways to the Covenant School shooting that took place in Nashville just a matter of a couple or 3 weeks ago. There you had some very connected people in the community, known to the governor there and the governor's family. Same thing here. And in this case, you're talking about a very respected institution in the city, people who had multiple connections in the city. It has come as just a tremendous shock, especially knowing this is someone who worked with them and for a considerable period of time. And, you know, Congressman, it is an enormous shock. And I think as Christians, we understand that. And there's something right about there being shock. We should be shocked by such horrifying behavior. The murder set loose in a murderous heart and set loose in a bank. And so I just want to say it is shock and grief and horror. And, you know, we live in a moral universe because God made it this way. And I'm thankful that even just the average person who may have very little connection with any form of Christian belief or even theism knows that moral relativism simply fades away instantly in the face of this kind of unquestionable evil.
Absolutely. And, you know, we may be looking at, in this case, a bad actor, as you described, someone who even in that role is shocking. I mean, this is not the type of person that you would anticipate to do this. But you and I both know, and this is what I want us to address, is this whole thing, there are more forces at play here. This is not just a bad actor. We are seeing more and more of these events take place across the country that are revealing a deeper problem spiritually and morally in this country. So if you can speak to that, and let's go down this path.
Well, I think that's a very important point. You know, when you look at a biblical theology and you look at both the Old and the New Testaments, there's plenty of evidence of the fact that one of God's great gifts to humanity is restraint. And when those restraints are taken off of a society, horrible things happen. And, you know, the restraints, I think, I'll just be honest, I think they all go together. I think when you look at the entire structure of biblical morality and biblical law, if you begin to unravel things over here, the unraveling is going to take place over here as well. And so people have been unraveling the entire moral fiber, the moral structure of Western civilization. And I'll just say, I believe that's based upon very clear biblical principles of morality. You begin to subvert that entire process. Well, eventually you end up with people who basically demonstrate what it looks like for a restraint to be gone, for inhibitions to be gone, and for people to follow example after example of horrifying behavior. And so I think what we're looking at is something just in biblical terms, absolutely horrifying and frightening. And I think Christians who do know biblical theology have to know if God's restraining grace is taken away from a society, the list of horrible things happening just continues.
I think that's an excellent point, Dr. Mueller, because you look in this at this particular case here. I mean, within all of us is the capacity to sin. Within all of us is the capacity to do horrible things. But in this scenario, I mean, here's a young man that just 7 years ago was voted Mr. Floyd Central High School. I mean, he's supposedly an upstanding citizen, not the type that you would expect. Even many of his classmates are coming out talking about their shock that this particular individual would perform such a murderous, insidious act as all of this. And that, to me, just underscores even more what you're talking about, that this goes to a greater problem. It points to the issues that go to the soul of mankind. This shooter may have had mental issues. Maybe not. I mean, we'll see all these type of things. But as we're watching more of these events take place all across the country, we can't blame it all on guns. We can't blame it all on mental issues. There is a heart issue that must at some point be addressed. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's very very, I think, humbling to recognize how many people want to reduce all sin and wrongdoing, even criminal behavior, to some kind of socioeconomic explanation. So that's basically all a secular society has. Either there's some kind of psychotherapeutic dynamic, or there's some kind of socioeconomic factor that because they can't deal with sin as the breaking of God's law. And so, you know, there are people who say, well, look, this comes out of a context of income inequality, or, you know, they just go down the list. Well, here you're talking about a situation and pretty much the same thing, you know, we see in so many others. But here, just very clearly, poverty is not the cause of this. Socioeconomic factors are not the cause of this. There's only one explanation for this, and that is premeditated violence carried out with a murderous rampage. There is no other factor here in terms of something that would just explain this. And even on the psychotherapeutic side, you know, as you say, no telling what we're going to be told, but this is someone who was functioning in that society and even functioning in this city for which I'm grieving and functioning in that bank. So, you know, if it turns out someone says this is just this or just that, I think we as Christians know That is not plausible.
Absolutely. And let's just add another layer to all of this. I mean, we're watching not only extreme acts of violence taking place across the country, it seems like almost daily something like this is taking place right now. Certainly feels as though weekly at least. But so we have this increase in violence. But in addition to that, related or not related, I would like to hear your response to this, but there's also a rise in extremism. Define that in multiple different ways. But what's your observation? Are these two somehow related?
You know, I think they have to be, right? Because you're talking about restraint being lifted off the point I'm trying to make. You know, you see it just about in every dimension of life. You know, I think a lot of this would not be possible without the digital revolution and the development of things like social media, where, you know, it used to be that people were told, think before you say something. Take responsibility for your words. You know, don't say anything you don't want to live with the rest of your life. And right now, it's unmitigated. I am not a Freudian, let's just say, extremely not. But I'm going to use Freud's category of the id. It's just sheer id. It's just sheer expression. It is just absolute, uncontrolled rampage, emotion. And, you know, I think this gets all the way down to the way parents deal with children, the way that the schools, you know, deal with students. You've got a breakdown of order and a breakdown of restraint. That's not just in terms of giant crimes. It's a fact. I mean, frankly, you look at America's major cities, you don't see much restraint about anything.
Yeah, and I think you bring up an excellent point with all the social media stuff. It's so easy just to throw out emotions there, and that certainly is fuel to the fire of extremism and whatever other isms we want to talk about. But let's go on here, because at the end of the day, we need to talk solutions here. I think we've, to some extent, at least diagnosed the problem here. We see the violence, the extremism, all this sort of stuff taking place, But now we bring this down to a Christian and biblical worldview, to not only inform, but to find solutions that we're seeking. Where do we go? What is the pathway to start finding some biblical solutions to the problem across our country?
You know, I appreciate that question so much. We as Christians understand that there is no solution for the basic problem of the human heart that comes from within ourselves, or that can be, you know, arranged by society. Society, common grace, you know, right policies and laws, they can suppress to some extent the full expression of human evil, but the problem's in the heart. And the only solution for the problem in the heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, and by the way, the gospel of Jesus Christ is first and foremost about how sinners are saved from our sin through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full justification of sins that comes to those who by faith come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But you know, the larger society benefits by the presence of Christians, and by the influence of Christianity in a society. I think as we look at a more radically secularizing society, it's not just a challenge to us evangelistically, it's a challenge to us just with the breakdown we see in the order around us. The answer for Christians has to come back to the gospel of Jesus Christ and our eager witness to the fact that there is no rescue from sin but Jesus.
So you are in an incredibly important position there as president of the seminary. You have hundreds of students who are preparing for ministry, and then beyond that, you have a voice that speaks into the lives of pastors, church leaders, ministry leaders, and Christians at large. So speak to them, if you will, right now. The pastor of the church, the seminary class professor, yeah. How do these issues need to be addressed to that parent at home, that pastor at the church? What is the message that needs to start being communicated to the Christian community?
I think the first thing we need to make very clear is that we do not have a toolkit of policies with which to respond to this. What we have is a theology, a gospel theology. What we have is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also have the sure biblical knowledge that the way you build a civilization is with healthy marriages based in a mother and a father, and a husband and a wife who love each other and are devoted to each other, having children and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, building a society, a civilization based upon consistency with God's law and God's command, and seeking human flourishing in such a way that we know can only come by obedience to the word of God and can only come by God blessing and providing restraint and protection for a society. I would say we have to return to first principles biblically and remember that we as Christians don't have anywhere else to go anyway. You know, the Christian church doesn't have some kind of policy exit from theology. We don't have some kind of, public policy platform that we can all of a sudden say that's now our agenda. The New Testament gives us our agenda. That is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to build godly families, to build churches, and through that to help bear witness to Christ in showing God's grace and the structures of grace in society. And yet we also come alongside the wounded and the weeping. And so that's the other thing I want to say. And I'm at ground zero for that right now. Yes, and the institution I lead is touched by this. One of the men killed in this attack is the son-in-law of the man who held this office just before I was elected to it. Wow. That is it's a sobering reminder of how close evil is. And we come alongside the grieving. And it is, I think, an opportunity for Christian witness to the hope that is in us. And I pray we're all faithful in that.
Absolutely. I join you in that prayer. You know, one of the things that you brought up with the biblical principles in law and going to those, it's very concerning to me that so many Christians have lost or walked away from or never have adequately been taught an authentic Christian worldview. And this is one of those things that must be an emphasis in the church as well as in the home of passing that baton over. We've only got about 30 seconds or so left, Dr. Moeller, but again, how would you encourage people right now to pray not only for the residents in the Louisville area, but just as across the board with our country at this point, what needs to be the priority in prayer?
I appreciate that question. I think our priority has to be to pray that God's grace and mercy will be evident, especially in a situation such as this, and that Christ's people will be deployed as agents of grace, particularly in a situation like this, and that Christian parents will teach their children, Christian pastors will teach their congregations, and all of us will together learn by the Spirit and the Word what it means to be faithful Christians in such a difficult age. And so we just understand God put us here in this time by His sovereignty for a purpose. Let's pray we'll be faithful to that purpose.
Dr. Moeller, always an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much for your leadership. Thank you for joining us this evening on Washington Watch.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
It's our honor. All right, friends, that wraps it up this evening. May God bless you. Let's learn. Let's be engaged. We'll see you next time.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.